Welcome to Kings Cast with Eric and Ryan. This is your weekly Sacramento Kings podcast for Kings fans by Kings fans. As always, this episode is brought to you by Ziggy's Smoke Shop. You can follow Ziggy's on Instagram at ziggy's.stockton. They have locations in Stockton and Tracy. We are coming off of a really fun episode last week, episode 132, where Ryan and I came on and talked about all the fun topics out there in Kingsland. As the Kings approach a pivotal point of the season and the trade deadline, which is always exciting, you can find that episode or any of our other episodes streaming on the Believe Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts. Bringing in my co-host today, as always, Ryan, what's good?
What's going on, everybody? What's tonight, Tuesday, Eric? Tuesday, January 17th. Man, we just got off of crazy wild card weekend in the NFL. Me and Eric have came on here multiple times and we've told you guys we are huge football fans, probably bigger football fans than we are basketball fans. Of course I'm a Niners fan. Niners got it done. Eric's a Tampa Bay fan. Unfortunately, they went down to the shittiest fan base in all of, in my opinion, all of sports. I fucking hate Cowboys fans. Shout out, say hey, Rob. But, you know, good weekend of football, man. I honestly thought Sacramento played tonight. I was really excited. I told you guys last episode, I'm still in Albuquerque, New Mexico, hanging out for work. But I got off work today and I was like, fuck, man, let me check what time the Kings play. Motherfuckers don't even play today. They play tomorrow, right, Eric, against the Lakers in LA with a chance to be 25-18. Holy shit, man. That is, even for me and Eric, who were optimistic coming into the season, that's something that, you know, I didn't expect this early. I mean, 25-18, that's legit. You know, they've kind of cemented themselves in that four seed, kind of in the middle of the pack for the Western Conference. So really exciting, man. I've been having a good time. You know, season's going really well, and one way I can gauge that is, you know, as a season ticket holder, my season tickets have been selling hella fucking fast. You know what I mean? Like, I got tickets sold 2 weeks out, you know, because I'm working out of town. So couldn't ask for a better start to the season up to this point as we're going into that all-star break.
Well, as much as you got ahead of yourself for the game tomorrow, you got ahead of yourself in the standings. The Kings are 24-18, not 25-18.
Well, a chance to be 25-18 tomorrow. Okay. Yes.
Sure. So coming off the football, for sure, this past weekend was great, except for yesterday when the Bucks played. A lot of other games, but if you don't know, you know, I am a big Buccaneers fan and definitely disappointed. You know what I said to my wife last night? This is the first time I've ever been able to say this, Ryan. The turn of my wife last night as the Bucks are getting beat. Tom Brady's running off the field. A little tear went down my eye. And I said to her, well, you know, Tom Brady's my hero. For another time, I guess. But I turned to my wife and I tell her, I go, well, you know, the Kings are fucking good this season. So I have the Kings to look forward to, which is nice. You know, I've never been able to say that. Yeah. At one point, the Bucks were, I said, Tom Brady's my hero because the Buccaneers didn't make the playoffs the 2010s, the entire decade. They were the only team not to do that. And just as in the pits, just as much as the Kings were. So for a lot of years, and also, you know, big Texas Longhorns fans as well. So 2010s were not kind when it came to sports for me, Ryan, particularly, and having my two favorite teams in basketball and football just be among the worst. And the last recent years, the Bucks haven't been that. And then now the Kings, like you said, we're optimistic going into the year, but even probably exceeded our optimism. But I want to talk about that as we get into the episode, just because the standings, you know, they're not what I thought they would be. But before we get into that, Ryan, I do have the bet online read. It's playoff time. I bet a bunch this weekend. Had a great wild card weekend. It was great to me. Hope you guys out there betting did. So if you're looking to bet, you can get on to Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all of your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. Bet Online is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Okay. Yeah. Wild card weekend was great to me on the betting side, Ryan. A lot to talk about. I want to go in the standings, but I have a good player for you this week. And for those of you who are new to the show or just checking us out, we do this to break in the every episode where I give Ryan a random player from my childhood based on the bio. He has to guess him. Ryan got it again last week. Who was last week's player, Ryan? Do you recall?
Avery Johnson. Was Avery Johnson?
It was good. You remember better than I do. Yeah, that was a good one. So this one, let's see if this one gets you, Ryan. He's a Serbian. So that should help. Maybe a 6'7", 224 pounds, second round pick in the year 2000, 30th overall by the Clippers. Didn't have a long career. He was a shooting guard. Here are his teams, Ryan. 2002 to 2005, he played for the Clippers. 2005 to 2008, the Timberwolves. 2008 to 2009, short stint with the Grizzlies. Pretty much not much outside of that. It's gonna be a tough one. I wanted to give you a tough one this time because
shit.
I always remember him too because he dated Adriana Lima, supermodel. She's hot as hell. He dated her for a minute, so that's probably almost what he's most popular for. Yeah.
You said that really fast. Go over the teams real quick again.
2002 to 2005 of the Clippers. 2005 to 2008 Timberwolves, and then 2008 to 2009 is the Grizzlies. You're gonna remember him most from the Clippers. Shooting guard.
For some reason, I want to say Marko Jarić. Yeah, let's go Marko Jarić, man.
Marko Jarić, that's a good one, dude. You're not Googling over there, right? You could let you would cheat right?
No.
Okay.
No, the reason. All right, so it was Marko Jarić or bust. So, and I usually try to come on here and tell you guys how I remembered who this was. Or so me and Eric have came on here and we've said multiple times that. You know, we played NBA Live as kids. NBA Live 2004. If you go back and look at this game, Marko Jarić was listed as the point guard for those Clippers teams. It was Marko Jarić. It was Corey Maggette. It was Lamar Odom, Elton Brand, and Chris Kaman. I want to say was the starting five for that team. For some reason, that's where my mind goes. So. When I think of these players, that's where my mind goes. Like, damn, what's that old video game that me and Eric used to play nonstop? Who was the guy? But it was Marko Jarić, and I had nobody after that. That's the only reason I didn't even know he was Serbian, to be honest with you. So, yeah.
A lot of random players on there that would have been worthy of it. Keon Dooling, Wang Zizi. That's a good one.
He played for the Lakers.
Wang Zizi. You're right, and Corey Maggette. Andre Miller was on that team as well.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think so. I remember that.
Kind of a random shitty team, those Clippers back in the day.
Was that was Darius Miles on there yet, or was that too?
I think Darius Miles was on the Cavs then. I think at that point,
it might have been a year too early for Darius Miles. So yeah.
Well, enough of the fucking 2000s Clippers. Good get there. Yet again, you take it down. So let's go straight into the Kings talk. Yeah, just to recap, we did record last week, and I'm trying to remember, Ryan, where the game was. I think I can't remember exactly who they were going to play when we recorded. Do you?
Shit, what day was it? Yeah, I can't. It was somebody shitty. It wasn't Houston, was it? No. They played San Antonio the night before last.
It was going into that Houston series. I looked at it. It was the night that they played the Magic. That's what we recorded. Yeah. So, Magic, Rockets, Spurs. Kings haven't lost since then. So that's always a good thing to put together these streaks. We had talked about this stretch of the season, and particularly this stretch. That's why I wanted to break in the episode Kings talk with this right here, because we had really talked about pretty much from like January 3rd all the way through the next, which was going to be 2 to 3 games here, because there were a lot of what we thought were winnable games, right? When you play the Rockets, the Magic, Spurs, you know, the Lakers, the Jazz, a lot of winnable games, teams that should be below you. And when we had looked at it a couple weeks ago, we said this is really a stretch where the Kings are going to need to take advantage of. They're going to need to win these games, separate themselves in the standings, kind of solidify themselves in the standings, and build a little bit of a base there so that this next little bit of a run coming into the All-Star break and thereafter, they have a buffer. And so it is good to see the Kings do that. The one disappointing one was the Lakers game, which was kind of a, you know, bullshit game, if I remember. It's been about a week and a half or so since that game. Kind of some weird stuff happened in that game. You like to win that one, can't win them all, but, you know, they win four straight. They're quote-unquote taking care of business. A lot of the past years, Ryan, when people would say, well, you got to win the games that you're supposed to win, we were always kind of like, well, when you're kind of a bad team, do those games really exist? Right? So this year, I feel like you can actually say that, and then we actually do it. That kind of solidifies the Kings' position on where they're at in the tier of the NBA, particularly the Western Conference, and right now the fourth seed. So what do you think about the recent run? Some blowouts, a lot of high scoring, put in the 130s, a lot of these games.
Yeah, so Sacramento's on a crazy streak right now, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember reading it today on my lunch break on Twitter of games scored over 130 points. But the most refreshing thing about these last, you know, week and a half since that Lakers game is, and you touched on it, beating the teams you're supposed to beat, right? When you're a good team, you do that consistently. Now, obviously, there are some flukes, right? It is the NBA. Anybody could beat anybody on any given night. But when you're consistently winning against, you know, a back-to-back against the Rockets like they had, beating the Magic, beating San Antonio in San Antonio pretty handily by double digits, that says something, right? These games aren't even close. They've really came out the last few, you know, last few games and blown teams out of the water, you know. And I haven't watched a full game in about a week and a half because of work and all that stuff. But, you know, the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning in the hotel room is like, all right, what happened last night with Sacramento and double-digit victories? That's something you have to have as a team that's emerging in the West, a team that has hopes of being a five seed or higher, which I think they definitely can do, obviously, by their current standing and their current standings in the Western Conference. But it's really encouraging, man. I think the days of them consistently losing to, you know, going 2-2 against the bottom of the NBA are behind us. I think they've figured out how to beat those teams. They're starting to take that next step. And let's be real, man. Anytime they come into one of those games, they have the two best players always. You know, when you're playing against those bottom feeders of the NBA, you're rolling in with, I really believe, two all-stars in De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. And that says something. You know, in years past, teams like the Spurs, they've had DeJounte Murray, you know, and he was probably, you know, 1A or 2 best player in the matchup. But Sacramento's consistently rolling into these bottom feeder games with the two best players on the court. And it's encouraging. I'm happy. And I'm glad you actually brought that up because, you know, when I was looking through the standings and schedule and stuff today, that was something that really stuck out to me of taking care of business against the bottom feeders.
Taking a look at what the Kings have been doing in the wins, a lot of attention has been put on the Kings because they're right there as the best offense in the NBA. It changes obviously day by day. I've heard that they are. I was watching something this today, breaking it down, like, you know, basically there's like a three-team tie up there with like Boston, the Kings, and somebody else. I forget exactly who, but best offense in the NBA right now, and putting up 130 plus, which is just, that's a lot. They're shooting a lot of threes. They're doing it against bad teams, but they are doing it in push. I think that's the thing about the Kings is, I don't know if we've talked about it here on the podcast. I know I've talked about it when I have conversations, is that's what makes the Kings kind of difficult over the years. When the Kings were, the last couple of years, Ryan, we'd come on here, I always had a thing I'd say, right, where when everyone's zigging, you got a zag, or whatever the fuck I was saying, something like that. But the point I was trying to make was like that you kind of have to, if you try to play exactly like everybody else, you're just going to be a worse version of everybody else. And so when you do something a little bit different and add an extra element that it makes you kind of stand out. And that's what the Kings have done and what they can do with their pace, their scoring, their three-point shooting, but they also have a big guy who is extremely dominant on the boards and inside. It's tough, and that's why I think that they match up well against even some of the top teams, like particularly like we feel that they match up really well against like Denver, which they have over the last couple of years. They always have matched up well, seems like, with the Mavericks. That's another team in there because just whatever reasons. And so when you can push that pace at certain times, it allows for blowouts, I think, against lower teams, like you're saying, but it allows you to kind of get out there and win against teams that are even maybe considered above you. I think the Kings at this point seem to have struggled. You've talked about a lot of when it comes to the long athletic teams, the Clippers, teams like that, the Clippers, the Bucks, obviously not in the Western Conference,
Hornets.
But the Bucks are just, yeah, the Hornets, they haven't fared well too well. I mean, I know they beat the Grizzlies, but the Grizzlies are kind of tough too, but you know, so some of these other teams are, you know, the tough matchups, but it benefits them in other ways. And so I think that's what's happened. That's particularly against the lower tier teams. The one thing that I've been doing, maybe you have as well, Ryan, is the Sabonis rebounds on the over. If you're looking to get into some betting, some of these nights where you know the team isn't as big as or physical, the rebounds I'm noticing are set at 13.5 a lot, 13.5 to 14, which is tough. I think it's tough for Vegas to set that number, Ryan, because when you start putting a guy's over under at 15 plus, you know, 16, it's like, of course, you might get crushed on that under, but his rebounds have been a tough one to set. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's been a good bet that I've been putting in lately.
I've stayed away from the rebounds. I haven't bet Sabonis' rebounds in a long time because of the current streak he's on. Like you said, 13.5, that's a fucking hard number, man. You know, like, we're starting to get spoiled and accustomed to, you know, the, what is it, 20 games in a row he's been on a double-double. And we've seen him have a couple 20-20 games. We've seen him for sure have 20 and 17, 2016. We're getting spoiled and we're getting accustomed to him doing that. But as a bettor, and if you guys are looking to get into betting or doing that kind of stuff, is you, no matter how much you love the team or how much you love the player, you have to look at it realistically. And realistically, I have a hard time night in and night out betting somebody's rebounds at over at 13.5. But the caveat to that is, I watch a lot of Sacramento Kings basketball, most Sacramento Kings basketball, and I know this guy is capable of doing that, so it just pushes me away, and it's a hard number to bet, and I've really stayed away, and it's crazy because last year, me and Eric's number one bet, and if you guys listen to us often or listen to us in previous years, a big bet for us has been betting the opposite team's centers over in rebounds, so it's crazy that my betting has kind of changed over the last year, but you know, yeah, that's a good point, man. That 13.5 number is ridiculous.
It's a weird, they said it, you know, and some nights I do take it. Like, I'm not telling you take it every night because it's not going to hit. It's going to go under a lot. But because I, as you were talking, I was looking at the box scores from recent games. There was an 11 game, a 10 game, a 12 game. You know, there are a lot of those, but then there's the 18 game. Then there's the 14 game. So it's up or down. You got to pick your poison. I just say, look at that number though. If that thing slips under, you know, 11, you got to take it just out of principle. But it hasn't been. And so that's kind of one thing too, is when I don't always make, that's something the last year or two, as we've increased our betting, I have really used the Vegas numbers to kind of gauge guys' production. I don't know if you do that. That's something I've been doing. I don't always go in there and do the props. I don't always place the bets, but I look at the numbers, particularly for the Kings, every night. I see where the numbers are set at, and I try to sometimes watch the game through that lens, if that makes sense. Do you do anything like that?
A little bit. A little bit, yeah. For me, When it comes to betting, and if I'm betting on guys, you know, if I'm doing props, game props for players, yeah, you want to look at what Vegas has been setting their lines at. But for me, I bet a lot on kind of feeling and matchups, right? Like, if the Kings are going to play Minnesota and you know, minute, and Vegas has their, you know, Sabonis's rebound still set at 13 and a half. I kind of stray away from stuff that, so I look at matchups. I don't really rely on, you know, what Vegas has been adjusting, if that makes sense. So it's a lot for me, it's a lot of feeling. And then what I'll do as well is I'll go back and look, right? I'll go back and look at, all right, shit, they played this team 2 weeks ago, right? What, you know, for example, rebounds, what did Sabonis do? How did he fare? How did he do on the offensive glass? That's the kind of stuff that I do to look at their production.
Well, that's kind of what I mean. I don't always place the bet, but it just helps me sometimes gauge, like, it just gauge production, I guess, in a weird thing, just because you spend so much time on there. And you're right, like, I look back at, and like, I was looking ahead for tomorrow, Lakers. I went back and I noticed that, you know, Sabonis's rebounding numbers were lower that game. And it's just, it's a real fickle situation. It's not consistent. One of the guys who's been really random on betting, though, has been Malik Monk. I want to talk about Malik Monk for a little bit. So his, because he's not a consistent scorer, you can get his number really low sometimes, 12 points plus or 13 points plus, some stuff like that sometimes. You know what's interesting, Ryan, is that anytime Malik Monk has a good game, the Kings seem to win. You notice that?
I do notice that, and you've brought that up. You've brought that up a couple times. I mean, let's be real, though. Anytime a bench player goes off for 30 or 25 and your bench scoring's up, it makes sense that you're probably going to win that game. But I do understand what you're saying, yes.
You get what I'm saying? It's just the production.
Yeah, it's just the production, yeah.
Another guy, which is interesting, we've kind of brought him up the last couple podcasts, is I said last week, Terrence, how random of a player Terrence Davis is. And I think we had a conversation about Terrence Davis, about how the way the roster is built, sometimes it just doesn't work out. Like, it's just weird. The guy gets in the other day again, starts. He comes in and starts the other day, tears it up scoring-wise. And but then it will go back into DNPs. It just reinforces the guy's got talent. He's probably going to get traded or something. I don't know. It's a weird player.
He's a weird player, and I think we've came on here and talked about how, you know, age wise too, he's only 24. So like, you would think for a team like Sacramento, where he kind of meets that age timeline, he's in the, you know, relatively same age bracket as the other players. But I believe he started two games, if I'm not mistaken, right, Eric? I think the first game he had 2 fucking points. And then it's like random dude comes back out 17 two nights later, or maybe it was the next night. Maybe it was the Rockets. I don't remember at the top of my head, but he's one of those players as well that it's like, holy shit, what do you do with that guy? Right. But it's also to the point where he has games like that, or he'll come in spurts and scores in bunches. But then, like you said, the DNPs, man, it's really puzzling how the guy doesn't get consistent. You know, at the end of the day, I think consistently that I would see that guy getting 10 to 12 minutes a game, you know, maybe more depending on, you know, like Herter was out and he had to step in the starting lineup. But it's really puzzling how that guy gets DNPs, man. It's weird. I don't understand it. Yeah.
It usually doesn't work out this way. And like I said, not bad or good. I think I understand what's happened. I'll understand if he's gone at the after the deadline. If he's gone after the deadline, I'll understand. If he's not gone after the deadline, I don't know. I think that it's just crowded. And we've talked about it in here. We could talk about it again. It's just a crowded situation what the Kings have going on. I will trust what people are saying about Davion Mitchell and his impact on the advanced statistics when it comes to defensive rating. I've heard it from a lot of credible people that I follow, so I'll trust them. And people say how impactful he's been on defensive rating, and you can kind of see that as well. So you have him in the mix now, which I think early in the season, Davion Mitchell, of all players, kind of struggled. He was one guy who kind of struggled. So lately has not. And then you have Monk, and then you have Herter, then you have Fox, and then you have Terrence Davis. So it's like the minutes aren't really there to go around. And so if it's crowded, you got to move on. You got to balance your assets, I guess. It's just, it is what it is. But it's nice, I guess, to have a guy that deep that does produce. But it's interesting. It's just really interesting when Herter goes out for those couple games, what happens? Terrence Davis, you're going to start. But the other games, we're not going to play you. I've just never really seen something like this. I'm trying to think back. I've never seen something like this where a guy literally doesn't play sometimes. I'm not mad. It's just weird. It's a weird situation to me. I guess I don't know what they're going to do.
I think what's puzzling about this too is Terrence Davis is a very good player. Terrence Davis is not, you know, I'm not trying to throw shade, but he's not Matthew Dellavedova, right? Like, he's not a guy like that. He's not a bottom of the bench or bottom of the team guy. I really believe that Terrence Davis is one of those guys that he could go to any team in the NBA and he'd have a role. He'd get playing time. So it's really weird. You understand it, right? When you have a guy like Malik Monk, who I think is, you know, should be in the conversation for Sixth Man of the Year. And then you have a guy like Davion Mitchell who plays a lot of defense, and he's really that backup primary ball handler, and he affects the game in so different ways. I can understand it, but still, I don't really agree with it, man. I don't, but it's just a weird situation. I mean, like I said, that guy can go on any team in the NBA, and he would have some type of role on the team.
Yeah, just a weird player. So to move on, I spent a lot of time on YouTube. One of my hobbies is I play Madden, and I watch a lot of YouTube. And I was playing Madden today and watching YouTube, and I watched it. JJ Redick's podcast, a segment they did on the Kings, and I clicked on it initially. I don't typically listen to that, but I clicked on it because JJ Redick was shitting. He publicly shit on the Kings the last year, so it's coming up. It's coming up on trade deadline, and there's two things that came out this week. Last year's trade deadline, when the Kings traded Halliburton for Sabonis, you can see where that's taken the Kings now. And J.J. Redick shit on the Kings when that happened. Totally, publicly shit on them. ESPN. Another one was Marcus Spears. Marcus Spears went on and actually applauded it, and a lot of people shit on Marcus Spears. So that's been the big two trending things about the trade last year. But I watched it because J.J. Redick kind of gave props to the Kings and gave the Kings some credit as to what they're doing. And something we talked about a lot, Ryan, which is obvious, I guess, but I'll bring it up, is that one of his big points were that the Kings back to their offense, just the shooting, that the shooting with Monk and Herter and with Fox is scoring, and what they're doing with Sabonis. The national recognition, you know what they're saying about Sabonis? That he said it on here. He said Sabonis is the Jokic light. And that's what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks, man. I brought up how I had came across that video about a month ago about how the Kings had used offensive principles from the Warriors and then the Nuggets to utilize Sabonis the way that he's been utilized and elevate him to the level he's elevated. And people are now talking about Sabonis to be in the MVP conversation, which I think honestly, if the Kings are top three in the Western Conference, legitimately he could. They'd have to really be top three, but just to get that recognition from JJ Redick, to get it in the conversation now, some of the stuff that we kind of were hoping for when that trade went down, and then to see it come to light now is great to see. And another thing today was that the Kings, Fox and Sabonis were on ESPN. So finally, all the people talk about national recognition, how we don't get none, they're finally getting a little bit of it in a good way.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, you said a lot there. One thing I do want to talk about, the Sabonis MVP thing. Let's put this into perspective, right? I know what you're trying to say about them. You know, if they get in the three seed, you could see him possibly, you know, getting that. I don't see that. I think as it stands right now, right, guys would have to get hurt, and teams would have to completely nosedive, right? So like Jokic's team would have to completely nosedive, and or he would have to get hurt for a guy like Sabonis to jump him. I just think, you know, I think Jokic just kind of separated himself a lot from the rest of the pack. But it's crazy. When was the last time Sacramento had an MVP candidate this late Peja, in the season, right?
Probably Peja, season.
Was that 05 or something? That Peja was like, yeah, Number 4 or 5 in the voting and stuff. But
well, I guess I'll say this too. Like I was more comment on people are talking like that with it. With that, as I'm not betting Sabonis to win the MVP. I get what you're saying.
And then talking about, you know, the national recognition by ESPN today, I mean, I think it's about a month overdue. You know, the one thing that bugs me, and I've heard people talk about it, and it bugs me as well, guys. You know, Sacramento not getting any national televised games, but when I see that, and you know, I see people getting mad about that stuff, I try to put it in perspective. I try to think like, all right, well, at the end of the day, this team has fucking sucked since I was in like sixth grade. Okay. I'm a 30-year-old man now. Okay. I don't blame the NBA for that, right? Like I don't blame them. You know, next year I really expect Sacramento to get even more national media attention with them making the playoffs. So yeah, they'll have more nationally televised games next year, but it was cool, man. I logged on today on my lunch break and I was scrolling through and I saw Sabonis and Fox with Jalen Rose and, you know, our guy, shout out Matt Barnes, who holds it down for Sacramento. I saw that today on ESPN and that was cool, man. I can't even tell you the last time, I've seen anything like that, even close like that from Sacramento.
The I kind of gave up a long time ago looking for outside validation. I think that over the last couple of years, people just are so quick to it was so easy to pile on the Kings and just be like, yeah, they're shit, and it was kind of right so that people automatically dismiss the Kings. And so when the Kings have done things that I would consider smart or like I would favor, and people dismiss them, I never really looked to outside people for validation. Okay, so that's really where, like, last year with that trade, I'm like, I don't really care what people outside are saying, because all their, you know, when that trade went down, and when people talked about Tyrese Haliburton, a lot of the talk was made about the advanced statistics of Tyrese Haliburton, like, right, his 3-point percentage efficiencies, his pick and roll numbers and whatever other numbers and stuff, right? A lot of it was advanced statistics stuff. And I know that people weren't watching the Kings games. That's one theory I've had that has kind of been. I saw an interview this last week, Ryan, with Austin Rivers. I don't know where it was on, but Austin Rivers goes on. Yeah, this is a random interview with Austin Rivers. And he was talking about like today's NBA culture. And they were talking about like fan voting and a lot of stuff. But one of the things I took out of it was that how kids, particularly young people, fans, whoever, they consume a lot of the NBA through YouTube. And I do as well. Like there is not enough time to watch every game. Like there's games going on constantly. So for me, I liked when I see a good matchup, I go to the YouTube highlight package, watch the 12-minute condensed film and just watch it just to see what happened and put down the box score. The difference though is like I've been watching basketball since I was a kid where you didn't have that. So I kind of look it through a different lens. But there are a lot of people in today's fan NBA and a lot of people who cover the team, or it's not cover the team, but rather cover the NBA, that's how they watch the Kings. So it's all through highlight packages. So when you see Haliburton not miss, you shit on the Kings. And I guess the point is it's easy. And so at the end of the day, now when the Kings are kind of ascending and they're doing a lot of good things, I'm not really looking to those outside people to get all hyped on their praise. I do think it's cool that it's finally happening, because I think that's what's needed for Fox to really get the recognition. That's what I care about. But you know, it's kind of one of the relationship with the media and the coverage. I don't really care as much what their opinion is, I guess. Do you?
No, I just, for me, I want our guys to be all stars, right? Like I watch the team, I follow the team. I guess you can say I kind of quote unquote cover the team, if you want to call it that. Not really, but
I
you
don't
know what I
say
mean?
that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like obviously we do a Kings podcast, like to some extent we're following more than the average person. I do want those guys to be all stars, right? Like that is part of it. You know, as you were talking right there though, I started realizing how fucking spoiled are we getting already, right? Like, guys, let's not forget 6 months ago, man, the Sacramento Kings were the armpit of the NBA, right? So,
Yeah.
like,
Entitled.
entitled. And I'm getting here and I'm thinking, I'm like, fuck, man, if you'd asked me 6 months ago if I gave a shit if Sabonis and Fox were all stars to give it up for that fourth seed, I'd have told you, yeah, fuck off. Like, I'll take the fucking fourth seed, no problem. And now we're here. And I'm sitting here trying to advocate for national recognition and for Fox and Sabonis to be the four seed. So again, this is what I was telling you guys. I try to put things into perspective and I try to bring myself back to that center. But You know, yeah, fuck, you know, I want my guys to be all stars, but yeah, it's this constant battle with Sacramento, trying to bring yourself back to center and trying not to get too far ahead of ourselves and trying not to look too far in the future because you've been burned so many times by this team. But man, it's funny how quickly we just shift over and we become spoiled fucking fans.
Oh, it's true. It's a really good take. It's something I meant to bring into the podcast. I really wanted to make it a point to say this, though. As much as the Kings are doing well and as great as they're doing in the standings, they're not they are a twisted ankle and a bad 2 weeks away from falling down, though. And that's totally true. And I kind of started off early in the podcast going this direction, and I didn't get there. So I'm gonna bring it back in that you know, Kings are the fourth seed, right? They are where they are, but it's still a long season. And I'm looking at it, they're the fourth seed at 24 wins. The eighth seed has 23 wins. Obviously, different amount of games played. Let's just look at the win total for the sake of it. Even teams all the way down to 12, which is the Suns, 21 wins, 13 the Lakers, 20 wins. So it's like it's still splitting hairs. It's still splitting hairs. And so, great, you did it for half a season, you know, whoop de fucking do kind of deal. Because right now, teams are still going to make, there hasn't been a trade yet. Right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen an NBA trade yet.
Well, there's probably a trade that we're not thinking of. There hasn't been a significant, you know, altering NBA altering
Yeah. There
trade that's happened yet,
there
you
haven't
know.
been trades, and you know that there are teams that are going to make trades. The Warriors are going to make trades for sure. I think Draymond, that's one with his player option. That is one. And he even made a comment, a quote the other day, Ryan. He was saying like, "Oh, it's coming to an end." I don't know if he saw that. I think that's possible. I don't know. The teams at the top. I'm just trying to look at the Mavericks are always up there. Who knows? You know, the Trailblazers, the teams are still going to make trades.
Minnesota. I've been hearing D'Angelo Russell rumors and stuff like that. So yeah.
That's a good one. So it hasn't happened yet. Yeah, but the entitlement, you know, back to since it's on theme with the episode, you know, the Bucks did make the playoffs for years and years and years, right? And then last night they're getting their ass kicked after the game. You have a lot of local, just as much as like local Kings writers. They're like local Bucks writers that I follow. And they're like, man, I'd rather not even been in the playoffs if it was going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You just went 10 years, no playoffs. And
Yeah,
all of a sudden, you know, all of a
easy.
sudden you're like too good. It's like, chill out, you know, enjoy the ride, get there, you know, separate themselves. Don't get fucking hurt. And hopefully the Kings, you know, they take care of business and keep us here. It's difficult. It would be such a letdown if the Kings really went backwards because so many people. I feel it though. This is the closest. It's like tangible, like the beam. You know what I mean? People are hyped. We have Kingsland. I see people on Kingsland. Shout out, dude, Patrick. I forget Patrick's last name. It's like Kirk something. Patrick K
Kilkenny.
something. Yeah, he's on here. He's on there posting all my playoff stuff, like daily old playoff posts. Everyone's super hyped. They want it so bad. Like they want it so bad. And would be such a letdown if it happened. So,
Can you imagine the morale? Oh.
oh God, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't even think about
That
that.
I know. I know, but that I'm not trying to put that juju out into Kingsland right now with the talk, but it's kind of like what you're saying. You have to slow down. Don't be entitled. Just like know that it's still a long journey. Yeah, you know, even when I'm already hearing some stuff like when we're in the playoffs, right? Well, when the Kings get in the playoffs, they're gonna have to do this, you know, defensively in a series because minutes are gonna tighten. I'm like, ooh, come on, can we just get to the playoffs first, please? Can we just get there? It's like, I hope if something weird fucking doesn't happen. So, I don't know, man. The Lakers one's gonna be good, like. A couple of games coming up though. We like to look ahead to the schedule. The Kings have the Lakers. They're back at home on against the Thunder next Friday. Are you gonna go to that game? Are you
The
gonna be,
20th? No,
yeah.
I don't fly home until I don't land in Sacramento till like midnight on Friday night, so I will not be there. And then the 21st, you know, got the birthday party, so I already sold those tickets. I won't be at the Memphis game. Well, that's not even in Sacramento, I don't think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it
Is
is.
it?
Yeah, go
Yeah, it
home
is
stand.
in Sac. Yeah. But they go on, no, they go on a long road trip, don't they? Raptors, Timberwolves. Yeah, they're gonna be gone for a while, and then into February. I don't think they're back in, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think it's like a 7-game road trip, if I'm not mistaken, coming up here pretty soon. They're not like back in town until they play the Mavs on February 10th.
That one's going to lead the Kings up to the trade deadline, that road trip. That's one that to keep to just to keep our eyes on, man. That like we've been doing that on our on these episodes, is looking ahead to stretches of games. That one's it's weird how the NBA is doing it, where they have multiple back-to-backs against the same team. That's weird. Like they're playing, or not back-to-backs, but double, you know, same games consecutively. Timberwolves twice,
I like that.
Rockets twice, Mavericks twice. You like that?
Let's talk about that real quick. I like that because it shows like what kind of adjustments are going to be made, right? Like, so when you play the same team in back-to-back nights, or even with like a middle, you know, a night in between, what team is going to make the adjustments, right? It's a little more playoff format, right? It's kind of foreshadowing. All right, cool. Maybe, you know, you lost this game by two. What are you going to do different a night from now that's going to get you a W? How are you going to improve? So I really do like that. When they played the Nuggets a couple weeks ago, that was cool, man. It was really cool to see how they adjust, and can you get a game when you need a game at home, right? Even when it's against a shitty team like the Rockets. And I was thinking about this the other night when, you know, I expected them to come out and beat them pretty handily like they did the first game. The second game, I'm like, all right. In the back of my head, it's all right, don't let down just because you beat the shit out of this team. Can you keep the foot on the gas? Can you make the necessary adjustments to clean up some things and replicate that win, you know, 36 hours or whatever, 48 hours after you had done it? So I really like that. I'm a big fan of that. It's more of the playoff mindset going into a game, just how you're going to attack it strategically.
That's a good take. It's interesting, and I don't know if it's advantage or disadvantage. I think it could be advantage against better teams. I think it sucks when you're on the road against maybe inferior teams potentially. Who knows? I guess it evens out, but it happens a lot of times in the season where they're playing multiple teams or the same team in a multiple game stretch, and that one's gonna be that this stretch is really. I'm kind of waiting, man. That's what I'm planning to say. I'm kind of waiting for the standings to start separating themselves. I really do think by the trade deadline, which I think is the 9th, I think I've looked at it before, but by February 10th against the Mavericks, I'm thinking that the Western Conference is going to be a little bit more clear than it is. And the good thing is the Kings have, I would consider, lesser than teams or beatable teams in that run. So we'll see how it goes. So, hey guys, we appreciate you listening. If you ever want to interact or be a part of the show, you can always do so by tagging us. You can find Ryan and I on Twitter and Facebook at KingsCast Eric and at KingsCast Ryan. If you want to check out some of our past episodes, you can find those on the Believe Podcast Network, where we're the Sacramento Kings signature show. To support the podcast, please slide down after or on Apple Podcast, or slide up on Spotify and leave us a 5-star review. It does help us reach more Kings fans just like you. So with that, for Ryan, this is Eric. Go Kings.
Thanks.